The New Science of Physical Health.
Welcome to this episode from The New Science of Physical Health. In today's lesson, you are going to learn about a health topic that very few people in the general community have even heard of. It is called hazard ratios. Our host Shane has been teaching health and physical education since 1985. He has delivered over 40,000 health lessons and has had an estimated 5 million conversations about these two topics that he is still obsessed with today. He was completely shocked when to discover that in his 39th year of teaching he had never heard of hazard ratios for health. Shane now considers it to be the second most important health concept he has ever come across in his profession. Find out why in this episode.
Welcome back to this episode, this lesson from the New Science of Physical Health. And literally, figuratively, for me, what I'm about to share with you is a brand new part of science. I want you to think about this. I've been involved in teaching health and physical education since way back in 1985 in Australian schools. You know, I was doing some calculations the other day. I can estimate, based on one day's worth of teaching over the course of the 6 hours out throughout the day that you're face-to-face with students, I can estimate, and also the in-between stuff as well, where you're not in the actual class, but you might be working with some students, some learners, I can estimate over my 38, almost 40-year career, I've had about 40, sorry, over my 40-year career, I've had about 5 million different conversations in and around the topic of the two topics I'm obsessed with: health, you being physically healthy, classified as medically healthy, and physical education or physical activity, both planned and unplanned. I'll talk about that another time. So about 5 million conversations I've had. That's a lot of time spent on just two topics that, even though I've spent almost 40 years of my career, those of you who listen to me regularly, you know I am obsessed with it. So imagine this. I've been teaching now, as I record, this is 2023, since way back in 1985. And imagine this when I'm sitting down and listening to a doctor from the United States who originally was an oncologist surgeon. So he operated on people with cancer, Dr. Peter Attia. If you want to look Dr. Peter Attia up, very fascinating, very interesting, but very high detail, meaning Dr. Attia has very high detail in regards to the level of medical information that he gives. There's two types of people that the New Science of Physical Health and all of the work that I do with the Perfect Health Lesson platform, two types of people I'm aimed at. Number one, those people who are interested in health already. They might be like me. They might be involved in the industry somehow from all the different areas. Or the other person that I'm aimed at are people who are not currently involved in wanting to be physically healthy. They're not interested in it. That's the people I'm aiming that at. Which group do you think is bigger? The group that is not interested, not in love with wanting to be physically healthy, that's the group that is massive. It's actually only a tiny percentage of people, or once you transition from being a teenager into your adult years, where you are physically healthy. Dr. Attia aims his work at people who are already interested in physical health, already interested in improving themselves. And in fact, I would argue he's aiming at the upper echelon of people, because the content he gives is fantastic stuff. Like, it's really well done, and I really enjoy listening to him. And he is so well credentialed in terms of evidence-based science, clinical evidence-based, meaning it's the things that he brings to his work. He's got a New York Times bestseller. The things that he brings to, and a great podcast, but the things that he brings to his work are evidence-based, peer-reviewed, and published. You can't argue with them, because he's talking about things that are physics. They're not opinions. So it's really interesting stuff. I love it. But it's very, if you're not into health already, it's very, I would call, very high level, high thinking type of content. Personally, I love it. So imagine this. You've been involved, whatever you do as a career, if you're just starting out in your career, you're 10 years into your career, in the middle of it. You're like me, I'm towards the back end of my career, although I don't think it's ever actually ever going to end because I love it so much. Imagine hearing about a topic related. Let's say you're an accountant and you've been doing accounting work and working with different companies and doing people's books and making sure businesses run properly and solving problems to do with accounting. Imagine you're an accountant for 38, nearly 40 years, and you come across an accounting principle you never heard of, like never seen before. And you go, how did I miss this? How do I not know this was a thing? That's today's episode. But in the area of health, of improving your physical health outcomes so that you can drive down my overriding goal with the new science of physical health and the perfect health lesson, so you can drive down your clinical risk of complications from excess weight, catastrophic cardiovascular events like heart attacks and strokes, diabetes, which is just going rampant around the world, and the cluster of conditions known as metabolic disease. That's the purpose of the content. So I'm going to share something now with you, a really simple concept, medically proven, called hazard ratios. I've spent 38 years, nearly the best part of four decades doing this, and I have never until recent times come across this concept. I'm so excited about it. Like I talk to people all the time now about this concept because it explains so well where it is that you should be at in understanding the absolute urgency that we have with you, getting you to begin to utilize the four major components of the perfect health lesson and the couple of things that's on the side of the perfect health lesson, that diagram. If you haven't seen it, you can go to the website in the link in the show notes. So this is where I'll start this discussion about hazard ratios and your health. I've never met a health or physical education teacher ever in my 40 years who knows what a hazard ratio is. So I've been teaching back since 1985, long time now. All of the medical research I've read for my podcast interviews to more than 100 expert PhDs, this concept of hazard ratios to me ranks as the second most important concept you need to know and use if you want longevity and improved health span. So what's a hazard ratio? It's a special tool in statistics that help us find out how risky or beneficial something is to our health. If the hazard ratio is 1.0, it means it's neither harmful nor does it provide a benefit. If the hazard ratio of a particular behavior is 1.5, it's telling us that it's 50% riskier than the people who don't take part in that particular thing. I'll get to some examples of hazard ratios in just a minute. If it's 0.75, it means it's 25% less risky or better at improving your health. There's a better way to say that. So let me go through some examples here. This is really simple, but it is so, so powerful about why it is that you need to learn and utilize the framework inside the Perfect Health Lesson. The link to that is in the show notes. If you want to see the diagram, it's in the show notes to this particular audio program. So what is a hazard ratio for a behavior like smoking? Let's pick on that one. Different studies will show us slightly different numbers, but on average, the hazard ratio for smoking is 1.4. So let me simplify that. If you compare a smoker to someone who doesn't smoke or vape, same thing, that's big these days, looking at everything else that's the same, the smoker is 40% more likely to pass away in that particular year that we're looking at them. It's saying there's an increased risk for smokers when it comes to all causes of death, but with a quantifiable number that makes sense to the average person. You can choose to take the risk or hazard and go ahead and smoke, but now you know from a medically proven background with peer-reviewed, published epidemiological studies, the hazard ratio of smoking means it's 1.4, which means you're 40% more likely to die in a year, in the given year that you're smoking, because of that particular behavior. So for any person who's serious about longevity and health span, that hazard ratio is massive. Not one person, I've never taken part in it. I've never met a person who wants the impact of that hazard ratio. I even have my own personal story. If you've never listened to it before, you can go back and check out other parts of the program. But my father was a smoker. So he had, for all of his adult life and most of his teenage life, in fact, he had a hazard ratio of 1.4. That 40% caught up with him in 1989. What that means is that in 1989, he was 40% more likely to pass away from that particular behavior. And he did at age 46. That contributed to his massive heart attack, significantly contributed to it. So let's pick another health outcome and look at that hazard ratio. What's the hazard ratio if you have high blood pressure or if you develop high blood pressure? By the way, this is staggering. 33%, a full one-third of all adults, doesn't matter what country I'm talking about. This program goes out to 97 countries right now around the world and thousands of different cities and people in those cities. And doesn't matter which one of those countries it is. If you have high blood pressure right now, or you develop high blood pressure over time, so there's 33% of adults in all those countries at 30 years of age and above have got high blood pressure, and lots of people in their 20s developing high blood pressure. I know you probably thought it was for people who are older, but it's not. So if we talk about high blood pressure, the hazard ratio for high blood pressure is around 1.2. That means if you have high blood pressure, you're 20% more likely to pass away in a given year compared to someone exactly like you in every other aspect, but without high blood pressure. It's saying high blood pressure adds some extra risk for mortality or early premature death. Listen to this. This is some data, some hardcore data. An estimated 1.28 billion adults aged 30 to 79 years old worldwide have hypertension or high blood pressure. That's incredible. An estimated 46% of adults with hypertension or high blood pressure are unaware that they have the condition because it's a silent condition. You have to get diagnosed with it. It's so dangerous. Less than half of adults, 42% with hypertension, are diagnosed and treated. High blood pressure is a big deal. It can mess with your arteries, strain your heart, and lead to some serious health issues. Picture this. Your blood vessels, they're like highways. And hypertension or high blood pressure is like a traffic jam, causing damage and clots. Your heart is trying to be the superhero. It ends up working overtime, possibly getting bigger and weaker if you have high blood pressure. And it's not just your heart, there's other parts of your body as well. Your kidneys, your eyes, even your brain can take a hit from high blood pressure. Hypertension is like this sneak attack of no symptoms until it's done some real damage. That's the painful part of it. It sneaks up on you because you can't feel it. So let's have a look now at a health hazard ratio for something called atherosclerosis. That's a hard word. It's maybe a word you've never heard of. If you're in that second category of people I mentioned at the top of this episode, meaning you are not involved in looking after your health, but you're listening to this program for the first time, atherosclerosis is a disease of the blood vessels. I'll talk about what it is in a moment. But it has a hazard ratio of roughly 1.25. So let me break it down. Atherosclerosis in everyday terms, let's use an analogy again. Imagine your blood vessels like those sleek highways I just mentioned. For blood is supposed to cruise through nice, clear, beautiful roads. That's what it's supposed to do in your arteries. But atherosclerosis is a troublemaker. It's like a graffiti artist of the cardiovascular system. What it does is it slaps on sticky patches called plaques, like plaque on your teeth, along the highway walls of your blood vessels, making it narrow and congested. This buildup messes with the smooth flow of blood. It's meant to be a smooth highway. And if it gets serious enough, atherosclerosis, it can lead to all sorts of catastrophic problems. It will definitely, as it gets more advanced, cause heart attacks and strokes of the brain, heart attacks around near your heart. In simple terms, atherosclerosis is like the highway getting clogged up, and we definitely want to keep our roads clear and have smooth flowing traffic. But atherosclerosis has this hazard ratio of 1.25. So what is a hazard ratio of something called end-stage kidney disease, which is a result, by the way, in most cases of high blood pressure? So examining someone undergoing undergoing dialysis, the hazard ratio of end-stage kidney disease. You've got all these millions of tiny, most people have never seen a diagram of your kidneys. You've got these millions and millions of tiny blood vessels in there. The hazard ratio of a person who has end-stage kidney disease is 2.75. That means they face 175% greater likelihood of mortality or death within that year compared to the individual who is not in the throes of end-stage kidney or renal disease. End-stage organ failure is like the point of no return for your body's VIP organs, the most important organs you have. It's when the crucial parts of things like your heart, your lungs, and kidneys are waving this white flag saying, I've done my best, but I'm running out of steam. It literally is the last chapter in the book of organ resilience, where you fought the good fight, but now you're struggling to keep the show running. And you imagine this organ, it's basically fighting this long, exhausting battle if you get end-stage kidney disease. I'll talk about how you get that in other programs, in other learning episodes, not this particular learning episode. But that is the hazard ratio of someone who gets end-stage kidney disease. By the way, it's triggered by high blood pressure, that thing that is in one-third of people, no matter who's listening to the program. So actually, let me just touch on what does cause end-stage organ failure. I think it's more worthwhile doing here just briefly. High blood pressure is silent, but it's the potential contributor to this end-stage organ failure. It puts a strain on the heart. Persistent high blood pressure puts this extra strain on the heart, so it has to work harder and pump blood against increased resistance in the arteries. Over time, this extra workload can lead to the heart muscle thickening and becoming less efficient. Then it causes cardiac damage. The increased pressure can damage the arteries supplying blood to the heart, and this can contribute to the development of coronary artery disease, which we just mentioned, restricts the blood flow. But kidney damage. The kidneys are delicate filters for blood. They filter the blood. High pressure, so from high blood pressure, damages those blood vessels that don't have the ability to recover or regenerate themselves. It's not like a cut in your arm. Your cut will heal and the skin will repair itself. Kidney, blood vessels and kidneys don't do that. If you get end-stage kidney failure, it reduces their ability to filter waste and excess fluid, and the damage can contribute to chronic disease, eventually, as I said, progressing to end-stage renal failure. So that's what blood pressure does. It leads to these end-stage organ failures. Now, that's just a couple of different examples of hazard ratios. There's things like hazard ratios for diabetes, hazard ratios for the type of food that you eat, hazard ratios for cholesterol levels. I'm not going to go into all of them in this program. This is not a long one. I'm going to give you a red alert hazard ratio right now. And if you ever get a hold of my Perfect Health Lesson book, or the online course, you'll see that the page in that book is actually red. The rest of it's green. This one's red. Red alert for this hazard ratio. CRF score, or it's commonly known amongst athletes as VO2 max. Now, I'm going to use the medical term for health. They're both the same thing, by the way, called CRF, cardiorespiratory fitness score. I won't go into why, but there's a hazard ratio for something called your CRF score. So I'm going to bet for every 1,000 people who are listening to this program or read my Perfect Health Lesson book or get to the online course for the Perfect Health Lesson, I'll bet 999 of them have no clue of what the medical biometric called CRF score is or VO2 max. If you're in my industry, you would, but most people don't. My observational guess, after teaching more than 40,000 students across the last 38 years, having over 5 million conversations, my observation is this: until now, you've never heard of VO2 max, the overwhelming majority of people. Even more than this, if you have heard of it, most people have literally no idea how CRF scores, cardiorespiratory fitness score, is related to your current or future physical health status in any way. What's the hazard ratio of having a low CRF score? This is unbelievable. I cannot believe this. There's a hazard ratio of 5.0. This means that it makes a 400% difference. 400%. I'll get to more about what it is in just a moment. All I've done so far is tell you what this hazard ratio is. Your goal is to have a high CRF score. But sadly, the vast majority of our society, all those people listening to this program in 97 countries, have a very low CRF score. There is literally no other intervention better for your health than raising your CRF score. There is literally nothing else, even in the same universe, that is more beneficial. This is so important that the next best hazard ratio that I've seen so far from the doctors that I've done some work with and looking at their research, the next best hazard ratio I've seen in medical research sits at 2.75. This is so important about your CRF score. I've dedicated an entire section in my framework for the perfect health lesson to this particular intervention, CRF scores. Professor Ulrich Wisloff from Norway told me there is no, this is amazing, there is no drug intervention, no medication intervention that is as powerful as raising your CRF score when it comes to lowering the risk of premature death. So your CRF score is what is basically is a measurement of your maximal oxygen uptake. It's like your body's ultimate measure of health. It's the big boss level of how well your body uses oxygen during intense physical activity and moderate physical activity and low physical activity. Basically, measure how efficiently your muscles can consume oxygen when you're pushing yourself. Picture this, you're on a treadmill, you're out walking up a hill, you're pedaling furiously on a push bike, and your body is demanding more oxygen to get to your muscles. To keep going, you need to have more oxygen delivered to those muscles. Your CRF score determines just how much oxygen your body can take in through the lungs and then deliver along the transport system, your blood vessels, to your muscles so that you can get that constant supply of oxygen. Now, here's the interesting thing. If your CRF score is in the bottom 25% for your age and gender. Inside my book, The Perfect Health Lesson, and my online course, there is two tables, one for men and one for women, that has a score. So for example, my score is 48 right now. For my age and gender, that puts me in the top 2.5% of people as 57-year-old men for CRF score. But if you're in the bottom 25% for your category, your age and gender, you're 400% more likely to die this year. It's like the gold standard for physical health outcomes. The higher your CRF score, the better your body is at handling those tough physical activity sessions like walking up a high hill, like a very steep incline, or being involved in some hard physical activity. Having a low CRF score throws a wrench in your health game and can even affect your longevity and what we call your health span, how many years you're physically healthy along the way. Think of it like your body's engine running on lower gear than it should. For starters, a lower CRF score means that you might lose your oxygen. Like you're walking up some stairs, you run out of breath more easily, and you can't do everyday activities. But more importantly than that, your body struggles for this oxygen supply and you feel fatigued more easily. And when things like walking up some stairs should be easy. Now, here's the science part. When your CRF score is low, it's a sign that your cardiovascular system is not as efficient as it could be. It means that your heart might not pump blood as effectively and your muscles might not be great at using oxygen. This combination can lead to issues like, this can drive things like higher blood pressure, increased risk of heart attacks and strokes, and a higher chance of getting tired more quickly. But more importantly, it accelerates disease, catastrophic disease. The top 2.5% of CRF scores means you'll be at 400% less likely chance of death this year. That's why I decided to do the work to put myself into the top 2.5%. Here's the interesting thing. No one's excluded from the top 2.5%. There's only one gold medalist and one silver medalist and one bronze medalist at the Olympic Games in an event. With your CRF scores, and it's one thing I teach, that the coolest part of it is that it's not determined by skill and it's not determined by talent. It's only determined by both planned and unplanned physical activity that you do every 7 days. You will raise or lower your CRF score based on your physical activity. Now, I'm going to, in my Perfect Health Lesson book and my Perfect Health Lesson online course, I examine CRF scores in a lot more detail than in this particular episode. Today is only about one thing, just giving you this understanding of hazard ratios. Why would a person ride a motorbike at 200 kilometers an hour in busy traffic with lots of hazards on the road with no helmet and no protective gear? How much are you increasing the risk of a sudden catastrophic event called death? Massively so. There are things that you are doing in your life that drive up the risk of you having permanent sickness, permanent disease, or premature death. Or there is one powerful thing that makes a 400% difference. That's a hazard ratio of 5.0. If you're in the bottom 25% of people for CRF scores compared to the top 25% for your age and gender, you're at a 400% higher chance of having a premature death that year. So we show you everything you need to know, and also how to automatically track on a daily basis just by looking at your watch for 5 seconds or an app on your phone. We show you how to auto track your CRF score and how to raise it. And then we have some very, very cool tools to keep you on track to get you into that 2.5% bracket for your age and gender. So once again, I haven't talked about what the score is. I haven't even talked about how you measure it, none of that kind of stuff. That's inside the Perfect Health Lesson book and inside the online course. If you're ready, go and click the link in the show notes and get ahead and see how you can get access to the Perfect Health Lesson. Thanks everybody for joining me. This was the most amazing thing in my life for a long time. I've been teaching for 38 years. I've never heard of hazard ratios until this year. Thanks, Dr. Peter Attia, for sharing that medical research, and I cannot wait to help people work their way through that framework with the Perfect Health Lesson. It's in the show notes, everybody, the link. Go get it. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us in today's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. We hope you have found the education content informative and enjoyable, and will share it with others. In today's episode, Shane made reference to a brand new project that will be released in early 2024, called The Perfect Health Lesson. If you would like to find out more about this project right now and get access to its pre-release, then go ahead and visit the website in the show notes for today's episode.